Ay, Chapa. Far, I've admitted five members, so we can start the meeting for deliberation on the day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Eddie. And thank you, members, and good afternoon. Thank you for making it in a Friday afternoon. And good afternoon. It has been a very hectic day. Good afternoon, the leadership of the IEC. I've seen the chairperson, the CEO, and other leaders from the IEC. We have convened this meeting and requested a special permission to hold this meeting. It is in view of the fact that the amendments that we need to effect, if they are not effected within a specific time frame, that will affect the timetable. We have then requested a special permission to proceed. We have been deliberating on this bill for some time. We have received all the comments. What we're going to do today is further deliberation so that on the Tuesday next week, the 1st of December, we are able to go through clause by clause, what we call the A and the B list, of the bill so that we adopt it. As you all know, members, that and as we're deliberating, there are about two sections which from time to time were allowed all the deliberation in the past so that we do further research, the IC also consults, we individual members also consult, so that we are able to take a proper decision. I have indicated that the technique of decision making is consultation. I think we have done that sufficiently as of now. But these amendments in the main that are presented by IEC are routine amendments that happens all the time we must face a particular elections. But that does not mean that we must not interact with the clauses that we think are problematic or those that we think must add more flesh or remove and so on and so forth. So I have requested that Tuesday we finalize, maybe get the bill to be debated by Parliament before the rising, because the IEC timetable will be adversely affected if we don't finalize this bill. So I want to give members, we're not going to take any presentation, I want to give members a chance to further engage out of whatever they've gathered and so on, whatever recommendation they want us to make today, so that when we deal with the AEDs on Monday, on Tuesday, we're able to be properly guided and removed as a unit. I want to recognize members for further engagement on the bill. I see Honorable Ross Henry has been up since I started. I will start with you, Honorable Ross, then I'll then give Honorable Molekwa, then give Honorable Ngrina, then Honorable Lekota. And then Honorable Chaban, in that order, can I recognize you in that order? We're taking further deliberations and what our reflection, then from there we'll make a summary of what...
Chair?
Yes.
Before Mr. Ross, there's an issue of apology. There's an apology from Ms. Kanyile, and also from the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs.
Okay, they are accepted. The apologies are accepted. Can you shoot Honorable Ross?
Okay, thank you, Chair. To use it for another purpose. And then in Section B, it talks about the necessity for redaction. And one of the inputs was from the Amabungani Institute about why journalism was excluded. Because if you look at the Protection of Personal Information Act, Section 7 of that act specifically excludes journalism, journalism and art and all that kind of, you know, there's a few different things there that are excluded from the provisions of POPI. Provided that the information is used for the right reasons. So the concern that I have with the redaction is that, you know, we already have sanctions in place for the persons that would need to use this data for auditing purposes and that. So now we're putting a redaction requirement in place. That's I don't understand that redaction clearly. You know, how will you ensure that it's redacted in such a way that you, because the whole principle of redaction is that you then take out information so that you can't personally identify somebody, or you can't use that information for the wrong purpose. But how are you going to achieve that, and at the same time make it fully auditable? Because often these lists, there's millions of people on these lists, so it's very difficult to go into an office and sit and look through 20 million. You would often need to compare it to something or run it through some verification process. So my question in this regard is really, clause 8D, why is that reduction necessary when you allow for political parties and candidates to utilize the data, subject to sanctions if they abuse it? And then secondly, the fact that Section 7 of POPIA system does provisions. I think the one question then going on to Section 14 and 21 that came from the IEC is, you know, noting that we didn't respond to the amendment. And I think it is a good point. The reason for me is when I looked at the amendment, it doesn't address the concern that was raised. So essentially what the amendment does, and if you look at the actual text, all that it does is it changes the ability to bring in any other voting procedure. And it just says that you will only do it at a selection of predetermined voting districts. So there's no mention of a pilot whatsoever in this clause. I know it's been spoken about that, well, this makes it a pilot. But I think we've got to be very clear, you know, the it's like a contract. You enter into a contract and somebody says, yeah, but it means this. But then when the contract is in place and you come back, those guys will point to the contract and say, but look, it says that we have the right to implement any other voting system, and we can choose a selection of predetermined voting districts. So that could be 10,000 voting districts. It could be 5,000 voting districts. And the point that I'm really getting back to is that the point that we've been making all along is really that there's not enough openness about this clause, these clauses, the Section 14 and 21. Look at Section 1D of the Constitution. It talks about universal adult suffrage. And there's three key elements to the vote. It's accountability, it's responsiveness, and it's openness. And in this case, there's, you know, the big concern really is that there's just not enough openness about what the Section 14 and 21 is about. And this is why, and I see this, pretty much all the colleagues have already agreed to this, except for the ANC. And really, I think it's important for us colleagues to fully understand that we're constitutionally obliged to ensure that any process or any system that comes into place is an open system, that people understand what it is, that it's not something that is too general. We put ourselves at a great risk when we enact law that we're on something that we don't really understand at all. And I think the chairperson made a good point in the last meeting that we need to receive a briefing on what's going on and what this is exactly all about. And I'm going to take colleagues back to the parliamentary website where it talks about the process of making a law. And it talks about that process starting with a green paper, and that green paper goes for comments and suggestions. That's about a particular policy that wants to be introduced. And then this leads to a white paper. That's a broader statement of the policy and what goes on. And then even the white paper gets referred to the committee. So we all fully understand, what is this alternate voting method? What are the possibilities? So that we're in a position to look at any legal provisions and say that they fully address all the risks. And when we go back to the constitutional requirements for elections, we can take the law that we're going to put into place and we can be sure that it meets the requirements of accountability, responsiveness, and openness. I think that we've seen what's happened in America, and I think it's very important that the trust in the electoral results has been called into question like never before. And I think we need to take note of international trends. I think we see international trends in our local politics, and we can only expect that if we're not very, very careful with our procedures and our systems, that those same things cannot happen here. We need to be very careful. I referred in the last meeting to the international standards for lawmaking on elections. And I'm not going to repeat what I said there, but basically what those all boil down to is having a situation where the public has had a full consultation and buy-in on a process and a procedure, and that every risk and possible objection has been considered, because we can put out a call for comments. Those comments came back overwhelmingly saying that we're not happy with this. We don't understand it. We're concerned. If you look at the wording of those comments, it's really all the wording boils down to the fact that people have not been consulted about this. They don't know what it is. Therefore, they don't trust it. So we need to be very careful, colleagues, that we don't put something through that is too broad, and where we ourselves don't understand what fully is involved. I mean, I don't think any of us can honestly say that when we talk about other voting procedure or pilot or whatever that may be, that we understand fully what is entailed in this process. I think another important point that was raised by the IEC last time out was that the IEC has done research, and it was mentioned that the IEC has had colloquium, has had meetings about this. There's been documents produced. And I strongly encourage, you know, there's been clearly a research basis already. I think if the reason to put this clause into effect is that we needed to be able to do research, the fact is you've done the research. You've been able to do the research before without this clause. So the only possible reason for the clause is to implement a pilot system. But then again, to my mind, it's also very unusual to for some sort of technological pilot project to have to enact law to do that. And I think as well the timing, you know, the issue of whether we, you know, sometimes you can say, okay, we have to rush something through for a specific reason, and we can balance whatever we see, and we can decide that for a specific reason the law needs to go through. But essentially, we've spoken a lot about the timing of this and whether it's really essential to pass clauses 14 and 21 now. And I think we have to refer back to just a few weeks ago when we discussed the Essential Services Amendment. And in that case, the committee decided unanimously that amendment to the state.
We're getting disturbed, Ross. Can you make your points? You're getting cut. Yeah.
Right, I'm almost finished, Chair. And then, yeah, so the point here is that we've done it with that Essential Services Amendment. We should do the same with Section 14 and 21. We should really take the public comments that have come back seriously. We should look at the risk that we put on ourselves as parliamentarians, and we should look at whether this is really needed now. And I believe this is something that is fundamental to the integrity of elections, that needs to go through the proper process of a green paper, a white paper, and then coming and then being put forward. And we have these essential services amendments. They're coming down the road. It's not going to be years and years before we have another electoral laws amendment bill. And we can look at the section 14 and 21 in a following amendment bill very close down the road. And finally, the IEC spoke about expensive lessons. You know, if we don't pilot, it can be an expensive lesson. And I say that this is exactly what will happen if you go ahead and start piloting things without a proper mandate from the general public and without some sort of a specification and guidelines. That we're just going to start piloting something, how on earth will we know if it's going to work? On what guidelines will this be piloted? So, Chairperson, I urge the full committee, and I urge all involved to just relook at Section 14 and 21, set it aside for a future electoral laws amendment bill, and get the process of the green paper and white paper started ASAP.
Thank you. Honorable Maliko.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also thank you for the input you made, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I want to agree with you, Chairperson, because whatever decision we take today regarding the two sections that need to be amended will have consequences if we don't go through thorough, so that we take an informed decision. So I just think that we still need time to go through it, so that if we take, when the time comes, when we take the decision, on how to make input on this section. We take an informed decision that will not come back to bite us, Chairperson. So I think maybe we can repair this attend to the next meeting, Chairperson, for the local committee meeting. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't know if you could see me.
I can see you, but you can't put that that background.
I'm using my laptop. The other one, my foreman. Can I just let me see if I can change my visual there.
Or we can continue.
Yeah. No, that's fine, Chair. Sorry, Chair. I'm looking at the one that is and you see that I think there's someone who has need to speak of the microphone. And too much hover. The person is too much hover.
Huh?
I can't hear myself. There's too much hover.
It's because of your gadget.
Okay.
We are better now.
All right. Now, what I was saying, Chair, is that this one of the people who are able to vote from the other areas in another voting station, where they should elect the chief electoral officer in time. And, you know, it's more like a special vote. You see, this is the experience, Chair, that we're experiencing on the special vote. You know, for example, on the special votes, I would like to know, Kuti, who are these people on the special vote? And there's no provision. Maybe the chairperson can correct that. That parties must get those special votes on time. Now, if you have another list again, that will be compiled, a list of the other people who are going to be voting in other voting stations, creating another nightmare, you know. So for me, I still have a huge, maybe even an input in terms of how this, I feel that I've got a huge dissatisfaction, and even on the issue of those, the special vote. And even this one, now this section, the 33 amendment of people to be voting other ones. I think, yes, it's it's section 33. I still have my reservations on that, because we're not even, there's not even a clear guideline or a clear statement to saying that even on this, let's talk about this, the special vote. There's not even clear can parties get the party this special vote and when, so that the parties can do their verification. Because we even found that as you're going through that time of the special vote day, there are people who are not even on the special vote, but because you're disadvantaged, you did not get it on time, so you don't know whether the person was on special vote or not. So now we are introducing another thing again of people voting in other areas, another voting station. It's going to be a nightmare. I can tell you right now. It's going to be a huge problem unless it can be stated properly, clearly. They can apply this time. After they apply this time, the parties, I will be able to get a list of these people at this time, so that parties can able to do their own verifications. about who are these people and where are they voting. Because and I even said to the leadership there of the IC that I'm going to be putting in I don't know how to call it, my observation on the previous 95, by-elections in terms of the muddy processes that are on the special vote. So now you are introducing now this one now again of people, registering in other, to register in other voting station. How are you going to make sure this thing is actually tamper-proof? It's very problematic for me, extremely. So, Chairperson, I have my serious, the reservation on that one. That was one of the sections for now that I actually had a look. But on the one of the section 14 and 21, and all this thing that deals with the e-voting and all of that is an input that we are compiling. I think before then, our next meeting, we'll be able to submit it formally in terms of what is our position in terms of that. No, thanks, Chairperson. I might actually take another bite, maybe, if it's actually possible. Maybe another round. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Likota.
Chair, he must unmute himself. Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Honorable Court.
Okay, thank you. Chairperson, I must say that I don't know whether it was Honorable Mleko who was talking just before me. Excuse me?
It was Honorable Mkwena,
yeah. He spoke a lot for me. I'm actually wondering to myself, how many of us understand and can say exactly and precisely where we are and how we can, and if not, how can we be brought on board to really understand? Let's start where Mr. Ross was at. White paper, green paper, and those that. How many of us have been taken through that, have gone through that, so that we can now say, when we want to make an amendment, or we are going to introduce something new, where do we start? And what all of these white papers, the difference between the green paper, the white paper, and so on and so on, so that everybody can be in step with all of us. If that is the problem for us who are members of parliament, how much more for ordinary citizens walking the streets and the countryside of South Africa? So really, we need to do something about that. And I would like to support very strongly the point that Honorable Ross and Mvina just were making now. And Chairperson, you seem to be an authority on these things. If you can be very kind and assist us, I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Likota. Honorable Hendricks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I was a member of the multi-party delegation that went to Namibia to study the mechanical voting system. It's not an electronic voting system. It's a mechanical voting system, not linked by computers or anything. Honorable Chairman, you know, just on the eve of South Africa's democratic dispensation, there was an intensive voter education program. And I think that, we have a court judgment hanging over our heads. We are now busy making the necessary amendments. Let's try and comply with the court. Let us not bring in any other issues that is going to give us problems later on. So my proposal and my take on this matter is that there should be at least a 1 or 2 year educational program and using this mechanical voting system, just like we had a program to roll out voter education. And as we know, besides the IUC taking the lead in this, there are many NGOs and other organizations that passionately took up the challenge of voter education, and this mechanical voting system is going to save the country millions of rands, and it's also going to save a lot of paper. But I think that to give it its best chance, there needs to be an educational program rather than legislative intervention at this stage. But I won't have a quarrel if there's provision for a regulation that a pilot project be introduced if the minister so passes a regulation as part of this educational program. But it shouldn't be it will just complicate our legislation at the moment, in that we will have two voting voting systems. But I still feel it's very important to conclude, to have to give this its best chance to have a educational program over 1 or 2 years, just like we had voter education. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Teacher. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Lekwase. Thank you, Honorable Chabane.
No, thanks, Chair, for this opportunity again to interact on this matter. The first point, Chair, I think it's just to correct Honorable Ross, and I think it appeared to be a wrong tendency from his part to conclude that the ANC is rejecting or is in favor outside the collective. I think the ANC is clear, right? We've never voted, nor taken a decision on this matter. And I think that the tendency on his part to bring the ruling party against the view that has not been taken is wrong. We Chairperson, we appreciated the groundwork that IEC has done, dealt with the responses of the public comments, came back to the committee. And I think that part has been appreciated and acknowledged by all members of the committee, including our sponsors. You will share that the IEC must go back and refine Section 14 and 21 so that it's more clear for us and members of the public. We also exerted a view that most people, the vulnerable, will be affected on this matter. And that is our view, which we have sponsored, Chair. We said again, Chair, that the IEC must do a thorough detailed research modalities in comparison with other countries that have engaged on this e-piloting program, so that when we finally take a decision, we are able to be clearer as all members and members of the public. we also sponsor that awareness and education is more central and critical on this matter, Chair. But Chair, that's also to input on the fact is that given the discussion that has been unfolding in the previous committee and also taking it from your Chair, in the consultation that coming from the IEC, is that we may Chairperson as a recommendation, Chair, that one, we suspend this section 14 and 21. We give IEC time to come back to the committee with the detailed research and other issues that the members of the committee are raising in terms of awareness and in terms of education to members of the public, and also give the public an opportunity, Chair, to conference around this matter. Those are the issues that I wanted to raise. That we suspend these two sections, give time to the IEC. So, Chairperson, we meet also the time frame that the IEC has been allocated to on this space. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, before I summarize on the matter, can I give IEC to go to comment? Over to you, Honorable, or not Honorable, Mr. Mashini.
Thank you, Chairperson, Advocate Bongo, and the Honorable Members. We wish again and the Commission to express our appreciation for the process that this amendment is undergoing. We've noted the comments that have been made, and we should be in a position then to come back with responses with regards to the questions that are being proposed. One would like just to take the opportunity to reiterate that the amendments have over the years been the routine amendments, and the due processes that had been followed has been always on this particular basis. So we would very much like to just draw that to the Honorable Members that, for example, this has been a process in the last few years working together with the Portfolio Committee, to the extent that now there are new members for the Commission, it's still a continuity. And in the engagement with the previous members, we went as far as doing the visits to see what happens in other countries. So at this stage, really for us was that we needed to bring closer the exercise. And that's largely what really is what we are proposing. And perhaps one would have actually felt if there were some clear specifics now from the committee members about proposed phrasing of the various clauses that are of concern, then we can be in a position that we would have responded to those. Because on the other hand, the processing of the amendments has got time frames. And as the Commission, we do work within legally prescribed time frames. And as such, the urgency of the situation, which we presented in the last meeting, was that before Parliament rise, we need to have the certainty of the legislation that is preparing for the next year's local government elections. So we would just like to flag the issue that the process itself is circumscribed by legislative the constitutional and prescribed time frames, which if we don't meet them, they could have unintended consequences. We note the issues of the information and the
Can you unmute?
My apologies. Honorable Chair, I don't know where then. I've not been audible since.
No. Just the last part.
Just the last part. Thank you. So what we were saying is that we would look into the issues, but the exercise itself is actually part of the process. What maybe may not be fully understood is that all the activities related to this exercise, they are undertaken under the auspices of the Party Liaison Committee. No activity is undertaken by the Commission without the approvals of all the represented political parties, where the specific details are then threshed and deliberated upon. For now, it was, we need a legislative framework that enables us to even start that exercise. And some of the questions, we may not have the answers at this stage because we're exploring. We just need to be in a position then to say, these are the things that we think would enable us to proceed to the next steps. But the team would actually compile additional information as has been provided, as the members, the honorable members have raised those particular questions. And I am joined by my fellow commissioners as well as the CEO, and can through you, Chairperson, if I could invite them to supplement my responses, and to thank all the members that have continued to deliberate on the amendment of this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson of the session.
Afternoon.
May I just make a proposal through you, Chairperson, on what the Chairperson of the IC has proposed. Given the fact that on Tuesday you specifically are seeking to go through the A-list process, I was wondering the question asked, other than clauses 14 and 21, I was wondering, Chairperson, if we could not respond to them, because we have done so before, we can do so now, so that there is certainty and on our part, we clear the process absolutely. Submit, Chair.
Thank you. Chairperson, I've gave this time for your delegation to speak.
Yes, the honourable through you, Chair, Mr. Mabula.
No, Chair. At this stage, I have.
I've lost the CEO.
Yes.
I'm here.
Okay.
Proceed. Unmute
okay,
yourself.
Thanks, Chairperson. I have, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. There's just two aspects that we just need to deal with very quickly. the special votes list, those happen in terms of the law as it currently stands. And arrangements are made in the PLC for all participating political parties to be given the list of people who have applied and have special votes approved. So that has been the practice, and that that information is always available to participating political parties. Now, what we are amending in Clause 8 is the fact that people could go vote at any station on voting day. That we believe it's a threat to the credibility of the elections. We are introducing a requirement for pre-notification so that everybody knows upfront those people who are not going to be able to vote in their voting stations, who are they, which station are they from, and a list is provided for that purpose and availed through the local party liaison committee to participate in political parties. And then the last issue, Chair, around Section 16.4. That the introduction of that clause on reduction is a consequence of our engagement with political parties in the national party liaison, as well as a workshop with the information regulator where all parties were represented. And the import really there is to not to de-identify voters. Political parties will still have the ability to identify the voters. They'll still be given the addresses of voters as per the Constitutional Court decision. The only aspects that are going to be redacted are the ID numbers for obvious security reasons and the need to protect the personal information of voters. So that is not happening as a initiative of the IEC on its own. It's an initiative of the information regulator to acting together with us after having consulted political parties. That's the only comments that I would like to make, Chair. And with regards to Clause 14 and 21, we hear the sentiment of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know whether there's any other point that my fellow Commissioner Miepa would like to also add before we conclude the inputs for now.
Chairperson, through the chairperson of the session, thank you. I thought that the only questions were really to clauses 8 as we have and clause 13. The CEO has clarified them. Clause 8 really seeks to protect that information as he has indicated, and there should not be any fear. We have consulted, we have indicated that information is available. It's just to protect the ID of the voter. In respect of clause 13, that the one which Honorable Mdina raised, the issue it's pretty straightforward. In that special votes are not removed, they are retained, but voting at any voting station is now going to be happening via pre-notification to ensure that parties, ourselves, and everyone that's interested in following that process knows in advance of voting day exactly how many people have applied and who those people are. It is that simple. At the moment, you don't know, as a political party, we don't know. People just show up, using Section 24A at any voting station, and that is the thing we are limiting. This is where I have we have indicated at the last meeting of the committee that there have been allegations of people voting twice or attempting to vote twice. I have indicated that those allegations are yet to be proven. All of the leads we have been given have not yielded any proof that people have voted twice. But to close that gap, that's what we are proposing. I thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, Advocate Bongo. I think this is the submission we are making as the Commission, following the comments and the remarks that the honourable members have made. Just to punchline, there's no provisions or amendments that provisions that have served before the Portfolio Committee that have not yet gone through the consultation with all represented political parties in the PLC. As a matter of practice, the Commission does not process through things without having first heard the inputs of the political parties to the PLC. And the PLC has approved and agreed that these amendments, considering all the facts and the discussions and the processes that have been underway, could then go into the amendments. And this is where what we say is, this has been from inception the practice in putting electoral legislative amendments, which is why we are saying these amendments are routine and they come through that consultation. So briefings and all those things and deliberations largely take place between our technical teams and the PLC representatives of the political parties. When we come to the Portfolio Committee, it is largely for two primary reasons. This is the oversight, and on the other side, in terms of assisting the Commission to have a passage of the requirements that it needs to continue and to timeously be on track with its fulfillment of its mandate. And so we submit that, yes, this process has to be undertaken, and what we just appeal is that we are circumscribed by the electoral and legislative prescribed timetables to the things. So we would like just to submit that to you, Chair, and to all the honourable members. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I summarize, can I recognize our legal Parliament Legal Services? Who's here? So, Susan.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here. Can you?
Yes.
Chairperson, what specifically would you want me to address, clause 14 and 21 or anything?
To comment broadly on what members have said and what the IEC has said and the process going forward.
Okay, Chairperson, let me start with the two contentious clauses. My first comment on it is that with regard to the bill that was introduced, the clause was very broad. It didn't specify what these alternate voting methods were. So my one concern with the introduced bill, which was provided to the public as a comment, is that the public is not aware of what the full implications of this clause is. And secondly, Parliament is not clear as to what power it is delegating to the IEC. With regard to the reverted clause, my comment is that it also, while it tries to address the issues raised by the public, I don't think it is sufficiently clear. The clause refers to the commission may, for purposes of piloting new technologies. It's not clear what exactly those new technologies are. So in my view, I think the clause is vague, and if the committee was going to agree to this, it's not clear as to what exactly is being agreed to. So in terms of the public also won't be clear as to what these new technologies are. So I would, from legal point of view, it would be better for the IEC maybe to provide further information or deal with this more in detail. The committee is clearer, and the members of the public are also clear as to what these new technologies are, how they will work in practice. So Chairperson, that's my view. With regard to the process, if the committee wants to adopt this bill by next week, Tuesday, they will have to make decisions regarding the disputed clauses. And it seems the only two clauses that are contentious are clause 14 and 21. So if the committee wants to finalize by next week, Tuesday, they want to make a decision today on those clauses. We can draft an A list and put that before the committee by next week. Chairperson, those are my views.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mrs. Isaac. Members, as you all know, we've been dealing with this matter for quite some time now. And I've overemphasized what I term a technique of decision-making lies with consultation. It is quite getting clearer now that, and with all the information given to us and the deliberation from members, that 14 and 21 may not be desirable, because the IEC, by their own admission, was that this is not for the next coming local government election, but it may be relating to piloting towards other elections that may come. I think it may be in the interest of all of us that, and the submission made by Honorable Ross and Honorable Chavan, that let's exclude these two sections. Not only Honorable Ross and Chavan, but what has been an outcry from the public and what they brought to us was in relation to these section 21 and 14. So in view of the fact that, and qualifying with this technique of decision making, we will have to come back to this tool for further consultation and further public hearing from those who are disputing, so that we can be able to give IEC a proper mandate that is on the basis of thorough consultation. But as it relates to all other routine, on the Tuesday, I want us to finalize the A list properly, so that we can deal with the issues. And the request from the IEC that if we don't deal with these things promptly, it will affect the timetable and have unintended consequences for the upcoming local government elections. So I think we will take only the two out. All others, let's go to the A list on Tuesday. And then let's delete all the routine amendments in that specific way, so that we don't affect any other work that is legally required by law that the IEC must do. So I think that is how I want to close this meeting. I want to take hands that want to comment on what I've said before it's a Friday afternoon. Before I formally close this meeting, anyone wants to take a bite? Going one,
Chair.
Going two?
Chair?
Yes, I recognize.
Well, thanks, Chair. I think your summary is correct and endorsed.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Mashini and Commissioner Msutu, the CEO, Somabolo, and
Shibori and others that I don't see in the list to come from the IEC. And thank you that you always respect the Committee of Parliament. Whenever you're called by a Committee of Parliament, you take it very seriously. We, as the Committee of Parliament, we don't take very lightly the work that you do. We take it very seriously and we understand the mandate that you're given by the Constitution. And I would like to thank all others, Susan, and all others and members for making it this afternoon. This meeting is adjourned until the 1st of December. Good afternoon. Bye.
Good afternoon, honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. Bye, everybody.
Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you now. Okay,
thanks.
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to assist the professor to log in.
Number one.
Good morning, colleagues. I think I'm looking at the time that we meet a pilot. How many members do we have on the system?